Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Maggie Winters-Gaudian as today's guest. Maggie is the co-founder of Pop Wedco, a DC-based startup building a new way to get married. She's also a partner and creative director at January 3rd, a creative agency built for next year. Maggie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey Ashley, thanks for having me.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Okay. I do a lot of different things. One of my main endeavors right now is growing a new digital agency called January 3rd. We work on digital advertising and brand strategy. And I'm also working on growing Pop Wedco, which is a startup in DC, building a new way to get married.
Awesome. And I want to focus first on Pop Wedco because that was the one that had specifically drew me to you. And so I'd love if you could talk about what that is and what made you want to get started with that.
Yeah, definitely. So Pop Wedco has an interesting little story. I started being a photographer when I was 16. My partner Steven and I shot our first wedding together when we were 16 in high school. It was like the wedding of my mom's friends, and we just kind of tagged along, and we loved it. It was amazing. So through college, I did a lot of wedding and family photography, and, you know, this was like right around 2009, 10, and I was doing a lot of elopements for couples that were coming from out of state to get married here in DC, and I was noticing that, you know, a lot of people went as far as to hire me, the photographer, and hire an officiant, but they didn't know where to get married. They didn't like have a location. And so sometimes, you know, we didn't always have the best backdrop for photos. Sometimes weddings would take place like in a wedding officiant's office or in the courthouse. And the DC courthouse, I love them very much, but it's not super handsome. It's not beautiful, like maybe San Francisco. So we started thinking, how could we make this whole experience better and take care of everything from end to end? So everything from coordination, location choosing, planning, to photography, officiating, even like a little cake and then a wedding photo album. How could we make this one experience that really does everything a couple wants, whether they're planning a trip to come up from Alabama or come down from Maine, or whether they're DC residents and they're just excited to get married in their home state? So my partner got registered as a humanist wedding officiant, which is a non-religious way that you can get registered to perform weddings here in DC. And we started to do these little tiny weddings all over the city and kind of tried to test our business model and see if it was a fit and see kind of like how people were responding. And we went from there.
I love it, especially with the fact that even though I'm not married yet, I know how much stress can go into planning a wedding for the couple in terms of finding the perfect location, all of the different vendors, communicating with everyone, all of that stuff. And so I think it's amazing that you built something that handles everything for your couple. So that way they don't have to worry about tying all the pieces together. You really find a way to, as you basically say in the name, pop, it's like a pop-up. And so being able to kind of incorporate all of that stuff into one area.
Yeah. And I think one thing we think about a lot is the minimum viable wedding. So like, you know, you'll see on Pinterest, there's like all these details that go into weddings. There's like what holds the napkins and like what kind of plates are you using and the table skirts. And there's so many details. But the thing that we really try to focus on is like, what are the fewest number of decisions you have to make? What are the fewest number of things you have to make your wedding still feel really special and really wonderful, but to keep the focus more on the couple and more on the marriage, not necessarily all on one day of a wedding. We love the idea that it does not cost $50,000 to get married. I think the average wedding in America right now is something like $35,000. And that's like, you know, the down payment on a house. It's fine if you want to spend that money. And if you have that money, then that's wonderful. But not everyone is able to do that. And we want to create a way that people can feel really good about their wedding and have a really fun experience without having to, you know, go into debt or spend all of their savings on a wedding.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned that you're focusing mainly on the DC area for now. Do you have kind of goals or intentions to expand and maybe offer it in other big cities across the country?
Oh, that's such a good question. So right now we're working on a new software product for our business, and we're going to be expanding across the country in the next maybe year or two, choosing specific markets as we go, because we want it to be, you know, we're a very personalized and high touch experience. So everywhere that we will be, we will handpick vendors, and we will make sure that that experience is really top notch. But yes, you should look for us across the country in the next couple of years. We are going to be expanding rapidly because there's so much interest in this idea.
Love it. And I want to shift focus to January 3rd, because that's kind of like a completely different idea from what Pop Wedco is. So what made you want to get started with a digital agency?
That is such a good question too. Okay. So the whole time, as I'm a trained designer. So when I graduated from college, I started working at a digital agency here in DC called iStrategy Labs, or ISL. And I've worked there. I worked there for about 7 years. And the whole time I was growing Pop Wedco, I was also working at ISL. I loved both jobs so much. People kept asking me, like, when are you going to quit ISL, the agency, to go work for yourself? And I was like, that's not really the point. I love doing both of these things. I really love advertising, growing brands, marketing strategy. So when the beginning of this year started, we thought to ourselves, how might we do this in a different way? Our agency ISL was shut down by the holding company at the end of 2019. So when 2020 came around, we just decided to go for it and try something ourselves. We also had all been laid off. So it was a great time to start something new. And so it's been a really good adventure so far. You know, it's a completely different type of a business. Pop Wedco is very small, and I work with contractors, and, you know, everyone like has their own brand, but is also part of Pop Wedco. With January 3rd, we have a team of full-time staff, and our team is amazing. We have a great little office over in LaDroite Park in an old carriage house. And so, you know, there's just two totally different types of businesses that I enjoy working on both at the same time, because there's just so much to learn from each.
I love that. And especially too, I mean, being able to, as you mentioned, have these two different businesses, it's like you get to exercise the different creative parts of your brain. And so you're still focusing on creativity and all of this stuff, but just in different ways. So I think that's exactly. Really fun. But with the January 3rd, what would you say has been your process for actually managing both businesses? Because that is one thing that I'm always so interested to talk about with entrepreneurs who own multiple businesses, is just how they can actually juggle both things. So what's your process been like for that?
Yeah, well, it's evolving. I would say Pop Wedco was on pause a little bit the first quarter of the year this year, because, you know, January 3rd was really ramping up and we were getting off the ground, which actually set us up really well, because then, you know, the horrifying pandemic hit. And so we didn't have a ton of like weddings that we had to move or cancel, because we were kind of in that pause mode. But as we've ramped back up, it seems like people really want to get married this year, and that Pop Wedco's model is perfect for socially distanced weddings. So I've been trying to kind of schedule myself early in the morning, like this time is perfect, or like do an 8 to 9 p.m. shift for Pop Wedco, because during the day we have a lot of meetings at January 3rd. So my days are definitely spent more here at the agency. But then, you know, kind of figuring out when these like quiet moments are, when I can just sit back and think about Pop Wedco, and trying to carve out some time each day, and then big chunks on the weekends to work on it. It's worked really well for me so far, but it's definitely still a changing process all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Maggie, what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
Ooh, so many of them. I would say one thing that people bring up to me a lot is I am about to turn 30 in a week, or later this week. And so I've done all of this before I turned 30. One thing I didn't do a lot of is like going out all the time, living in group houses, having a really fun, cool year touring Europe. So many of my friends have had these great adventures in their personal lives, and they've been able to kind of like have a crazy decade as in their 20s. And I just kind of didn't choose to do it that way. I have been working probably like 60 hours a week since I graduated from college. And honestly, I love what I do, and I love working all the time. But I think probably the hardest part was just that, you know, there's not a lot of balance there. And so I definitely have missed out on a lot of the cool or seemingly cool opportunities that many other folks had. That being said, I would not change it for anything. I think growing a business is maybe the most fun and rewarding thing that I've ever done. And so it's definitely worth it, but there are sacrifices around every corner.
Right. And it's like, it's really difficult because, as you mentioned, you want to be able to partake in these really fun experiences and be able to live a quote unquote normal young adult life. But there's, when building a business, we have to be able to focus on those sacrifices and give up the things that would be fun for us and enjoyable for us in order to be able to build something much bigger, which I agree with you. It definitely makes it so much worth it in the end.
Yeah, it's so funny because like, I don't know how to tell you how many parties I went to as like a young adult where I'd be like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. I have a wedding at 12 noon tomorrow and I can't be hungover because I have to shoot the wedding. And like, you know, you can't do anything when you're hungover. At least I can't. So I'd be like, okay, 11 p.m. midnight, I have to leave you now. Like I must leave. And it's just so funny to think back on all of the times that happened. But it seemed to work out pretty well.
Absolutely. And on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business while young?
That's a good question. I would say one thing I really love about my life right now, that I think is definitely a result of growing businesses as a younger person, is the amount of freedom and control that I have in my entire life. So from PopWedCo, you know, I am fully in control of that business. I decided to put it on pause for the first quarter of last year. And that was fine because I answered to myself and I knew that was the right thing for myself to do. Starting January 3rd, felt like, you know, our team was ready to go, but I feel so much autonomy and so much agency over all facets of my life that it is so worth it and I would not change it for anything.
I love it. And I mean, as you mentioned, just being able to focus on the amount of freedom and control of pretty much everything, like dictating your time, who you work with, what you work on, all of that stuff. It's really like gratifying to be able to know that you're the one who's kind of spearheading all the decisions and choosing what's best for you moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, it is so hard to do everything in a business. I think that's like one of the pieces of advice that I have read everywhere, but that is so true. Like you spend maybe 10 or 15% of your energy actually doing the thing you set out to do. And then like 80% kind of figuring out how to run a business and paying estimated taxes and making sure you're doing everything legally and like getting your email servers to work and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, you have this really well-rounded skill set and you can kind of learn what you like and don't like to do along the way since you have to try out everything.
Right. And one thing that you just mentioned about figuring out what you do and don't like to do along the way, that kind of leads into a good part of figuring out how to build a team. And so you mentioned with January 3rd that you have a team that works for you. How were you able to kind of build that? And what was the process like for finding the different people and understanding where you need to be able to outsource different tasks?
That is a great question. So we did a lot of thinking about the types of work we wanted to do and the types of folks that we want to bring in to make sure that we have the right skills and the right like interpersonal balance. And we were really lucky in that, you know, dozens of our favorite creative collaborators were now out of work. Not lucky because of course that is terrible, but we were able to grab a few people and kind of offer them the chance to start something new with us. And that was really special. I would never take that for granted. I can't imagine going out into the market and just trying to find these people. But we have a really, really amazing director of account services who is like an operational mastermind and so good at the logistics part of, you know, client management and scheduling and telling us, you know, we're going to be over bandwidth next week or we're going to be under in 2 weeks. And really providing a good look into how the team is doing. And then we have a wonderful art director and a really talented director of content production, and they just make such a good creative team. So that has been really lucky. I I feel so grateful that they are part of the team and that we can all make work together.
That's wonderful. And when you're hiring these people to build your team, did you kind of build your agency before finding clients, or were you finding clients and then building your team depending on the amount of work that you needed to fulfill?
So kind of some of both. We didn't have any clients to start, but we really like started a lot of conversations. So early on, we would be like on the phone with people in our networks, people that we had met once or twice, kind of just pitching January 3rd as an idea and then seeing what their needs might be. So we spent a lot of time doing that. And then, you know, since we came from a digital agency background already, I think we already had a pretty good handle on what type of work we were interested in doing. But having the opportunity to kind of rewrite that story is really wonderful. We used to work on, you know, really huge projects at ISL. We would work on like enormous campaigns. There would be team sizes of like 12 people on every project. And it was just, there was a lot of process and a lot of institutional malaise that kind of goes into doing the same type of project over and over for 12 years. And to kind of wipe that slate clean and then decide, you know, we can do things on a much smaller scale. We can do things faster here. Our team is 5 people. And so we are very lucky to be able to just do things kind of test and learn all the time, trying new things, seeing what we like about them, and then driving the business in a direction that makes us feel really fulfilled.
Love it. And so with that, do you have specific industries that you feel really passionate about working with, or different types of services or projects where you really specialize in?
I would say yes and no. I think personally, we each have things we're passionate about, but on the whole, we really love the idea that we are not super deep subject matter experts in any one area, but rather that we are experts in branding and marketing and advertising. So no matter what industry someone's in, we're kind of speaking for the consumer. So we can see from an outside perspective, one problem people run into a lot is using too much jargon and getting too in the weeds too early with their brand, so that audiences kind of don't understand the higher level benefit or the higher level message. So we're really good at kind of pulling out of those really deep knowledge holes that founders sometimes get into, and speaking for the consumer to the consumer in a way that they understand and appreciate. But with that said, one thing that I'm personally really, really passionate about is sex tech and women's health. And so we've been doing some projects for brands like Nixit, the menstrual cup, and other brands in the sex tech space, because that is something I've been researching and working on in some capacity for almost a decade. So some of both.
I love it. It's kind of a great way to be able to balance everything and be able to focus on multiple different projects and areas.
Definitely.
And Maggie, what do you think led you to your success?
Well, I would say it's pretty early to define success or say that I have it. but I think I'm really interested in the journey and kind of moving forward every day, always trying to try something new and see if it works. And I think that kind of like iterative mindset and never resting or thinking, I've done it, you know, it's over. Now I will just sit back and enjoy. I definitely, you know, always am trying to find something new, try something new, see how something could be better or improved. And I think that mindset is really important for just continuing to grow and learn, because I think the minute we stop trying to learn new things, the world just passes us by, and as it should.
Right. So it's like being able to have that proactive mindset of kind of being really mindful of, what do I need to improve? What can I do better? Where can I add more value to my audience and things like that is really what helps you to keep moving forward, especially in an industry like marketing where things are constantly changing. Being able to stay on top of the game and find different ways that you can position yourself differently from others does so much for your brand.
That's definitely true. One thing that I try to think about a lot is the difference between like an opportunity for growth or like a thing that could be improved and negative feedback. Because I think sometimes we get so nervous about being rejected or about, you know, what am I doing wrong, that we're kind of afraid to look in that place. But one thing that I try to do is it doesn't have to be wrong. It could just be like a 6 out of 10 now, but we want to make it an 8 out of 10. So it doesn't have to be bad to be improved, but we could always be trying to find different, more efficient or more interesting and effective ways to do things that we're already okay at.
Exactly. And then also too, I mean, actually doing the thing is how you get better at it, because definitely, as you really shared with the whole aspect of, you're not expert in just one thing, you're experts in a variety of things. And so the more you do something, the more you understand a better process to do, you get more ideas, you understand what works better, all of these different things. So just actually diving right in and going for it is what will give you the best experience moving forward.
I absolutely agree. I think that's one thing that, you know, starting a business really helps you learn, is that you kind of just have to do it. You're never going to be fully 100% confident in, at least if you're me, I'm never fully 100% confident in anything. But I think it's important to just jump in and do it. Know that it's not going to be perfect, because truly nothing is ever perfect. And you're going to do some things right, some things wrong, and learn along the way. As long as everything is legal and you're like paying your taxes, you can always fix mistakes, you know?
Right. And so when you launched January 3rd, kind of going off of that, did you have everything lined up and prepared to launch? Or was it something like you kind of had the ideas in a row of what you were going to do and what you were going to implement, but then launched anyway? Because I know for like a ton of entrepreneurs, and myself included, when I first started my business, I felt like I needed to have everything just perfect. And I spent almost a year lining, putting all of my ducks in a row. And then now my business is completely different than what it was when I first started. So it's like, there really isn't a need to have everything just perfect as you think. You can kind of go along with it as you go. So would you say you did the same thing for January 3rd?
Definitely. I think one thing sometimes we forget is that truly no one in the world is waiting for any of us to launch our businesses. Like, almost no one ever will care. So I think getting out and launching, even if it's not perfect, is ideal, because you can start to talk to people and start to see what market fit might be, or, you know, how your brand is responding with consumers, how people are enjoying it. And then kind of like continue to tweak. No one is going to hold us accountable for changing our logo unless we're like Coca-Cola, or, you know, a brand that everyone is really counting on or familiar with. But for those of us who are just starting new things, there's so much flexibility to test, to change, to iterate until we're really happy with it. And I would not be afraid to start before you are fully, fully ready, and then just keep tweaking.
Absolutely. And if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
You know, I don't know that I would do anything differently. And I don't say that because I think that I did it perfectly, because I think it's always a highly flawed process. But it seemed like, you know, at the time, I think we launched in 2014, just kind of flying by the seat of our pants, going for it and trying new things with Pop Wedco. And it was fun. I loved it. It was really rewarding to be able to be a part of over 200 couples' wedding days so far. And I think it might even be 250. There's so many wonderful couples in the world. And I just think that is the most rewarding thing. I do not think I would change a single thing about the way that it happened.
I love that. And especially too, I mean, I love working with the wedding industry for my clients, because I think they're so much fun. So you probably feel the same way, of just being able to play such a big role in people's really big day in their life, and just be able to help them plan something that's really magical and something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Definitely. And I think, you know, being able to focus on like the core mission of the business, to provide, like in my case, for Pop Wedco, to provide a new way for folks to get married that is not stressful and that focuses more on marriage than on the wedding. Anything else is ancillary and can be changed and can be tweaked. But as long as I'm able to provide that really high touch service to couples, and we can make sure that people are really getting the most wonderful wedding day, everything else can kind of fade away into the background.
Absolutely. And with Pop Wedco, I know that you work with so many different vendors to, of course, bring this day to life. How do you go about finding these vendors to become a part of your team and really make sure that they're going to meet your expectations for quality and satisfaction?
Well, there's a few different ways. I think one thing that has been really helpful to me is just talking to other friends in the wedding industry. Everyone's worked with each other. So when I'm thinking about hiring someone new, and we just hired a new photographer for the fall. And one of my friends, who's an amazing wedding coordinator and planner, has worked with him before. And I loved his work. I saw his website and I was just like, man, this guy is great. And she said, you know, I've worked with him before. He was wonderful, really professional, great quality photos. Couples love him. So just being able to kind of ask around and see how other people's experiences have been. There have also definitely been times when I was trying to hire someone and people kind of said, well, they're late sometimes, or like they sometimes upcharge you after the fact or something like that. And then, you know, immediately don't go with that person. I think personal networks are so important for recommendations so that we're not always just relying on things we see on the internet, but rather to pair information we get online with real world information. Building networks we trust so we can rely on each other is so important.
100%. And I always say too that referrals are the best compliments. And so being able to get referrals from other people of vendors that they've worked with who've done an outstanding job is so helpful, because like you said, I mean, we need to be able to rely on our networks, because that's how we're able to find really quality people to add to our team and help us grow.
Definitely.
And why do you think it's so important to start a business at a young age for individuals?
Well, I don't know that it's important for everyone. I know several of my friends and family members just love the idea of being able to work, you know, 9 to 5, 40 hours a week for someone else, and have stability and have health insurance and have all of the things that come with working at a company. And honestly, I think that's totally okay. For people who are more entrepreneurial, maybe more like myself or like you, I think it's just important to give it a try. If starting your own business is something that you want to do, getting out there early and trying to find something unique that you can offer folks is going to be really rewarding for you, even if the first 3 attempts fail, even if you don't quite get it right straight out of the gate. It's really powerful to be able to see how companies are run and to be responsible for the entire success of a company. So I would definitely recommend, if you know you want to be an entrepreneur in the future, just starting on a smaller scale. It could even be, it doesn't have to be your full-time job. It doesn't have to be like, tomorrow I'll quit this stable job and then I'll immediately have a full-time career in this other thing. You know, there's plenty of different ways people go on this journey, and I think that they're all really valid, but just trying to jump in and give something a try, always commendable.
Agreed. And one thing that you said that kind of reminded me of something else is that another guest had actually shared with us some advice where if you want to be an entrepreneur, to basically surround yourself with other people's businesses who have the business that you want. And so what you mentioned too with that like small scale aspect, where if you want to be an entrepreneur, start on that smaller scale and kind of dip your toes in, that kind of reminds me of that other piece of advice of just being able to take a look at other businesses that people have and see what business model they're using and how they're doing it and kind of get some inspiration from there, because that can definitely help you to kind of learn the ins and outs of business and give you some really great insight.
Definitely. I think that is really smart. And I would also say, like, even if you want to be an entrepreneur, going to work for someone who has a business that is, you know, approximately the size in the approximate industry that you want to work in, or even if it's a completely different industry, but you just really admire that person's leadership style. I think there's so much to be learned from people we admire, people who are smarter than us, and to be able to, you know, see how someone else grows their business while you kind of get ready to start yours is a really good process.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you did a really similar thing with January 3rd, because you had that experience from ISL and then being able to take that experience, knowledge, ideas, and everything and turn it into your own agency.
That is definitely true. The folks at ISL are some of the smartest people I've ever worked with. The leadership team there was just so wonderful. And I loved every day that I spent there. And that is definitely something that I still think about, how we can build an agency that is as welcoming and smart and just all around good. So I definitely recommend it.
I love that. And Maggie, what's the last piece of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out?
Ooh, I think if I were to leave one thing, it would be to try many different things frequently and quickly, and don't spend all of your time or money or like resources on one thing, but rather to be able to try, whether you already have your business and you want to try a couple different methods of advertising, or you're not quite sure what your unique selling proposition is going to be and you want to like try a couple of different messaging strategies, or even a couple different variations of your product. I would say one thing that has worked really well for me is just being able to do test and learns across the board in every area of our business and not spending all of our resources in one place, just a little, you know, dip a toe into the water and see, is this something people are excited about? Is this something that feels like it is resonating? And then if yes, just keep investing in that area. But if not, you have more resources and you can pull back and try something new.
I think that's great advice, because the first thing that we choose or try isn't always going to be the perfect option or the best option. So being able to kind of test different things and see what actually works well for you and your company can help you to save a bunch of time and money in the long run, because you're basically doing little tweaks here and there that gives you so much insight.
Exactly. And I would say it's so rare that the first thing we try works. And I wouldn't be scared of that. It's not a failure if, you know, your first product doesn't go to like number 3 in the iTunes store if it's an app. It's not a failure if it's not a smash hit. There are so many gradations in between of success and of, you know, learning along the way.
100%. Maggie, this has been such an awesome episode that I know our listeners will find to be so valuable in terms of learning about both PopWedCo and January 3rd. And with that, I'd love if you could now share where our listeners can find you online in case you'd like to connect with you further.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It's been so fun. Let's see. Folks can find me online. My Twitter handle is Moonstomp Maggie, which is a ska reference. I love ska. And January 3rd is across all the social platforms at It's January 3rd. We spell out the third like a word, not a numeral. And PopWedCo is just PopWedCo on all social. So find us online and tell us what you think of what we're doing.
Perfect. And I'll put all those links in the show notes too, so that way in case people miss them, they can click through and connect with you from there. But Maggie, thank you so much again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.